Well, there you are, doing your bit to help the environment by buying an electric vehicle. But then as you drive around Michigan, you notice something. EV charging stations are few and far between, and if you're driving any sort of a distance, that can be a problem. State Senator Mallory McMurrow hopes to address that problem and encourage more of us to get EVs with a package of bills that she's introduced. The Democrat from the 13th District is with us now. Senator, welcome.
Thank you so much.
So not only are you a legislator, you also drive an EV, correct?
I do, yeah. I knew this was something that I wanted to work on actually before I came into the legislature. So I picked up a Chevy Bolt, which is the all-electric vehicle. It doesn't have a backup gas engine, and I've been driving around for a year and a half now.
And as you do that, what are the biggest barriers that you found in Michigan to being an EV owner and user?
So I think that on its surface, it's still kind of something that caters to early adopters, people who are a little more forgiving of the process. I run into an instance about once a week. So I commute to Lansing. It's 86 miles one way, 86 miles back. I don't have a level 2, which is kind of the mid-level charger at home. So I rely almost exclusively on public chargers. And there are user-generated apps where you can find chargers, but often these are mismarked. They're not in the places that they say they are, or they're broken, or there's a regular gas car parked in the spot and you can't charge. So it's a series of misadventures, and it's been a really, really good way to really understand the problem as a user.
So what would your package of bills do to address these challenges?
So it is a four-bill package, and I'm really excited that we have two Republican and two Democratic sponsors on it. So it's very rare that we get bipartisan work in politics these days. But the overall goal would be to position Michigan to be the first fully networked state in the country. So one of the bills creates an electric vehicle council, which would be tasked with really understanding the infrastructure right now and working with stakeholders, researchers, the utility companies to identify locations that make sense to make sure that you can get from Detroit to Marquette and back again and not have to worry about not finding a charging station. There is a bill that would allow for state parks to lease out a space and collect the revenue from that charger to go back into the state park system. There's another one that would do something similar for park and rides, and the final bill creates an incentive for small businesses and multifamily dwellings, because when you're still charging, you're going to spend a little bit of time at this charging station. It's not quite like going in and out to a gas station, so we're thinking about small restaurants, hotels, retail establishments where people are already used to spending some time to install a charger so that we can quite literally drive business to some of our small businesses around the state.
Well, the devil is in the details and the dollars and cents. What amount of money are you asking for to make Michigan a fully networked state and to make more charging stations available?
So in three of the bills, it costs nothing to taxpayers, the first three that I talked about. This is really just about more robust planning and allowing the chargers to collect revenue and go back into the system. So it's revenue neutral. And we have been working with Treasury on the final bill to come up with what is a reasonable cap on this system so that it does not really cost the state too much money. I know, especially right now, as we're just trying to figure out how we fix the roads, we're very sensitive to budget issues. So that's something that I hope as these go through the committee process that we can work through to figure out what's a good incentive that isn't going to hurt but is going to drive adoption and actually spur economic development.
So at this point, there's not a dollars and cents figure determined?
Correct.
Right now, EVs are just a tiny, tiny percentage of the vehicle market. So why should everyone in Michigan care, and why spend tax dollars on this now?
So that's a great question. So electric vehicle adoption in Michigan is only about 2 to 3% of vehicles purchased, but this is our signature industry. And if you look around the country and the world, I was consulting in and around the auto industry before becoming a legislator, there are companies all over who are developing this technology, and my fear is that, you know, we're so comfortable in our core competency. We can make pickup trucks and SUVs better than anybody else in the world. But if we don't adapt and evolve to where the rest of the industry is going, we're going to get left behind. We're starting to see this out of Silicon Valley, but also China. So, you know, I know that there are some incentives that we've been working on the federal level that Debbie Stabenow and Gary Peters have worked on to extend the purchase tax credit. But really, until the infrastructure is in place where people can feel comfortable with these vehicles as their primary vehicle, not a secondary vehicle that they drive just for commutes, we're not going to see that adoption. So I want to make sure that our industry and all of our workers are positioned to continue to lead in this space.
If you've just joined us, I'm speaking with Senator Mallory McMurrow, Democrat from Royal Oak, State Senator from Royal Oak, about the package of bills that she's putting forth to help make Michigan the first fully networked state, a very friendly state for those who drive electric vehicles, like Senator McMurrow. Do you think it's a case of that more EVs aren't being sold because there are so few places to charge them, or that there aren't charging stations because more EVs aren't being sold?
You know, it's that catch-22. I think that we are seeing the cost of purchase coming down. It used to be a very exclusive market where, you know, Teslas, when they first came out, were hovering around the six figures. So it was still kind of a very elite purchase. But the cost is coming down. The technology is advancing. But I think they have to work in tandem, where even if we can get the purchase cost down, where somebody can consider it their primary vehicle in the sub-$30,000 range, if you don't have the charging stations, it doesn't matter if you can afford the car if you can't get from point A to point B. So they have to work, and it's finding that balance. I talked to some people who were a little critical of the bills up front because they had seen chargers installed maybe a few years ago that are now being taken out. But it is finding that balance of when is the right time to introduce them, and that's why I think the council portion of this package is so important, so that we can really study it and it's not an ad hoc approach that's going to fail.
Right time and right place.
Absolutely.
The technology is certainly improving and changing very, very, very quickly. So how does public infrastructure keep up with all of that in a timely while still cost-effective way?
Yeah, so it's really exciting to see how quickly the technology is improving. Now there are level 3 or fast chargers, which there are a few on my route on the way home, where you can get about an 80% charge in your vehicle in about 45 minutes. Still a significant amount of time if you're used to just driving into a gas station and driving out, but it is improving very rapidly. So I think one of the things that we would task the council with is identifying not only the time and the location for where these should go, but what level charger is required. If it is somewhere like a major highway where people are driving longer distances, or if it's in, you know, a small community where maybe you don't need quite the high power or quick charging that you might need for a long commute, but just to get around town and feel comfortable doing it.
What other steps do you think the state might take to encourage people, you know, to think of an EV, to adopt EVs, to do what you've done?
You know, I think a lot of it is awareness. It is kind of a scary jump, and I think that just the change in habit is a big step for people, because there is that fear of, oh my gosh, if I get into my car, am I going to be able to make it, or am I going to get stuck on the side of the road? So, you know, I think it's the equivalent of when we went from horses to cars. We're now going from, you know, internal combustion engine cars to electric vehicles. So it's just making these vehicles more available to people, testing them out. You know, I'd love to see maybe some of our automakers provide drive events where maybe somebody could lease one out or borrow one for a weekend to just spend some time with it. And it was for me. You know, I'm somebody who always grew up around cars, and it does take a little bit of getting used to. There's no sound that goes with a car, so you're not going to hear the revving of the engine. But I think once you get in it and you really experience what it's like to drive a more sustainable car that's not polluting the environment, and you never have to go to a gas station, it's pretty exciting.
What are you hearing from the stakeholders in all of this, particularly the auto industry and also utilities?
Yeah, so we actually worked for 6 months on this bill package. It was something that I started working on January 1st, and we spent a lot of time working with all of the major stakeholders, including the automakers, including the utilities, ITC, DTE consumers, and they actually are offering some rebate programs themselves right now. So we wanted to make sure our bills complemented everything that's happening in the space right now and didn't compete with it. One of the things we talked to DTE about was, you know, for example, if the council identifies a location that the grid doesn't necessarily support yet, would they be willing to invest the capital to support that? And they said yes. So it was a really exciting process. It took a lot of time to get it right, but we do feel comfortable now that a lot of the major stakeholders do feel good about these moving into committee and having a robust discussion about them.
And as you pointed out at the top of our conversation, you have two Republicans, two Democrats, so hooray for bipartisanship. How long before you expect to see this package move to a vote?
So I really hope it comes up in the fall. Obviously, we're still kind of on our break right now as we wait to be called back into session. I'm sitting in Lansing right now, so I can't wait to get started. But I know that there's a lot of interest. Hopefully, they come up in committee in the fall, and I would love to see a vote by the end of the year.
What would success look like? Let's say that the package of bills gets through, gets approved. How would Michigan be different because of these bills?
So Michigan would be different, I think, because it would be a consolidated process that's well planned. I think when you see other states, and even here, we've seen some private investment, but it's ad hoc. It doesn't really connect a network. You can't really make a road trip. So this would be a consolidated process. We would bring all of the major stakeholders to the table and work on it together so that we can move the entire state forward, our industry forward. And hopefully it's just that kickstart that we would need for private industry to come in and say, this is something worth doing. We're going to invest in it ourselves. So it's just that start to get it moving.
State Senator Mallory McMorrow, Democrat from Royal Oak, thank you so much for being with us on Stateside. We'll keep watching with you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.